from the Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe, it's time for DI Plus to come screaming at you through the interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. DI Plus is brought to you by I Just Don't Care Anymore. When you have that feeling that you just don't care anymore, it's time to go to IJustDon'tCareAnymore.com and make sure to use a special listener checkout code DI Plus for an amazing discount. Check them out, IJustDon'tCareAnymore.com. Welcome to DI Plus. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined by the I Just Don't Care Anymore Less state of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
I thought we had discussed in those pre-show meetings that that bit's old now.
That bit is, now it's become retro, which makes it cool.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. See, it went from being old and all right, so it's like the Simpsons. Did you ever watch The Simpsons?
Occasionally. Well, right. In the 80s.
It's a rake.
In the
70s. This is the rake joke. Yeah, this is the rake joke. Remember when Sideshow Bob stepped on the rake and it hit him in the face? It was funny. When he did it the second time, it was a little bit less funny, but it was still funny, nonetheless. The third time that he hit himself in the face, you were just kind of like, oh, that's not really it. The fourth time, you're like, all right, this is just old and trite, and they really need to just move on. The fifth time, it started to get funny again, and by the eighth time, it was hilarious. So, see, it's one of those things. That's really what it is we're just hitting our audience in the head with a rake.
Well, thanks for clearing that up, Chet.
Again and again and again. Right, exactly. I have to move my microphone because I am. One moment, please.
He's moving it. It's exciting.
It is. This is exciting podcasting. I've moved my microphone. You know, I've switched from my.
It does look different. You have a little protective tip on the end of your microphone now from the
pop filter here. The big pop filter. I've now moved to the smaller pop filter.
I
hit the microphone stand just like that. It's amazing.
Best produced. You'll have to let us know. You'll have to let me know how that protective tip is going for you because I'm wanting to get something. I hit my microphone. So
excellent. You have the snazzy shock mount there and everything. So I think this is the very first show that we are actually both using Windows 8. So this is
all
new and exciting. So if things go horribly awry this show, it's because we've both switched over to Windows 8, as is our want in life, is to just, you know, live on that bleeding edge.
Well, that's a good excuse. So if everything goes wrong, we have something to blame it on. It's Windows 8. It's all Windows 8.
It's all Steve Ballmer's fault.
Exactly.
That's what you're saying. So anyway, so we're here. We're streaming live on pride48.com. We're also doing video on the old Google Hangout kind of a video thing that you can watch along on YouTube. And there you go. So how has your week been, Adam?
My week has been really
anything
boring.
Anything of note that might have happened? Oh, let's say last Sunday, immediately after the show?
So after the show, I don't even know what I was doing. Oh, yeah. Mark was coming back from New York, so I was going to go clean his apartment because, I don't know, I wanted to be nice. I wanted to be a nice boyfriend. And so I went back and I didn't take any of my computer or iPad or anything with me. I only had, I think, my phone. That was it. So I wasn't listening to anything. I wasn't doing anything at all. And then all of a sudden, about 9:30-ish or something like that, I get a call from the Joey L. Buhecker.
Joe, you know, our manager, Dr.
Yes.
What was it? No, is it the Dr. Reverend Joey L. Buhecker III, I think?
How many? Every time you mention his name, he has like a different title. You know, obstetrician, I don't know. Zoologist.
Dr. Reverend Joey L. Buhecker III. I don't know.
I got a call from him and I missed it. And then he called again or something. And I thought, oh, Joey's calling me to say that Cocktails and Cream Puffs was nominated for, best GLBT podcast with three gay hosts and a straight woman host in Buffalo, who record on Tuesdays. But
or maybe Wednesday.
Maybe. And so I thought, oh, yeah, he called me for that. And then I pick up the phone. Hello. And he goes, congratulations. And I'm like, for what? Anyway. So, yes, for those who don't know, our humble little show was nominated.
Our steaming pile of crap.
right. As you say, have a disagreement there, but there you go. Right. Best produced.
Was nominated for best. I don't even know what. Well, I don't know. I won't say we because maybe you do. I don't know what best produced means.
I don't either.
I was thinking about today. It's like, that's kind of a nebulous category. What does that mean? Does that mean like that we have lots of content? Because we don't. Does that mean because we sound really good? Well, yeah, we do. I mean, the sound quality is good.
We have segments. We have a good opening and closing theme.
And you know, really, what more do you need? What more do you need other than a good opening, a good closing, and to sound good? Really, you need nothing more.
We have segment music. So we have bumpers. we have, you know, a lot of different things go into the magic.
That's right.
That is the show. Actually, I think we chose Best Produced because we figured we were the best sounding show of our competition.
Well, we just didn't. All right. So we're here on the Pride 48 network, right? Which they're all GLBT shows. So we didn't want to be in the GLBT category because that would just mean that we would be competing with all of our friends. So
no, because let me tell you, it is a clusterfuck of Pride 48 shows in GLBT. If you count every show that has broadcasted, it's like over half of the nominees, I believe.
Well, let's just go over that, shall we? So over on the Podcast Awards, let's see, if we scroll down to the GLBT category, who do we have here? We have Cocktails and Cream Puffs, who we've heard about before, right? We have The Feast of Fun. We have Foul Monkeys. We have Gay Sunday Brunch. Ramble Redhead, Scream Queens. All of those were participants this year in Pride 48 in Vegas. So each one of those shows was on Pride 48 this year. In addition to that, then we have Bend Over and Take It, Homo Ground, which I've never heard of before, the Queen City Experience I've never heard of before, and Throwing Shade.
So you know, I recall that maybe the Queen City Experience might be a nemesis of Cocktails and Cream Puffs because
it's hard to keep track of that.
Aren't they recording from the same city?
I don't know. I don't really know. Let's see. I'm going to click on their link here. Let's see. I think
as I do recall, Joey says that they are recording from the Queen City of New York.
Or Buffalo.
Yes, the Queen's City of New York. I don't know. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, well, I'm here on their website, the Queen City Experience. And yes, it's Buffalo, New York. So there you go. They're in the same town as Cocktails and Cream Puffs.
Yeah, so I believe that is their arch nemesis.
Oh, really? You know what? We've been looking for a nemesis, and we've never found one.
That's because everyone loves us.
I don't know.
Everyone loves us, and, you know, everyone enjoys our show, and no one wants to compete with the level of grandiosity that comes out.
Now, we're just going to make up words now.
I think grandiosity is a word.
Grandiosity.
So I was going to say, I have been playing online. No, I know we're not leaving this topic, but I just want to throw this in here because it's a very short topic and it kind of fits here. I have been, speaking of large words, I've been playing Word Feud with Mark.
Yes.
And I can't, you know, I have never been one to be a cheater in my life until I started playing the online word games because we now have these handheld devices and these computers and things. And if you do a Google search, you can go over and find various websites that will give you, you feed it your letters and it gives you words. It's amazing.
It sounds magical. It sounds revolutionary.
No one knows unless you say it on a show where hundreds of people are listening. No one knows that you're cheating. Luckily, he doesn't
listen. That's not true. There's people that you play against that you know in real life that they will come up with a word that you know there's no possible way that they would know.
Well, see, that's the trick, though. You go through the list of words that it gives you and you say, okay, I would never choose that word.
See?
There is
You're cheating with a heart.
Right.
You're being clever and you're cheating.
But I found a new site that I wasn't using before called Lexical Word Finder.
Yes.
It actually has the entire Scrabble board and you fill in the letters as it goes and it actually finds words and tells you where to put them.
Yes.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
But I'm not a cheater. I'm not.
Right. You're not a cheater. You've just spent hours on the site.
I just want to win.
Right. You know, the thing about Scrabble though is it's not all in the words.
Well, you had to play in the right place, though.
Yes. Because not only that, but it's not just, oh, I can spell this word in this place and it's going to give me enough points. It's there is some amount of strategy, right? It's like if you go barreling through and spell your double word, you know, triple letter word, but leave me an E or some other really common letter, like in line for me to do a triple word with a double word combo, I'm going to take it. You see what I'm saying? It's like you can't just immediately go in for the points without thinking about what it is you're leaving behind on the board, that your opponent now is going to come in and that they are going to, more than likely, they're going to make that other combination.
Well, that's
true. So there is strategy involved in it. It's not, I don't play anymore because I got bored of playing Scrabble. But it's like I've played with plenty of people that played with online checkers or online words, whatever. And it's one of those things. You just the words are not that the words are not the most important thing about Scrabble. I guess was what I'm trying to say. Fascinating, I know. But
I know the whole topic. But anyway, I've always prided myself in not being a cheater. I'm really ashamed to admit this because in my life this is only a recent thing. I mean, normally I was one of those people that would be, you know, I would never in a million years would I do anything that was considered cheating because then if I won, I wouldn't feel like I was a true winner. With Mark, I just want to kick his ass in a game. That's all.
Why is it
that you
want to kick his ass?
No, not in real life. I love him, but I want to win. That is all I'm saying. We've also been playing Family Feud, and I will tell you.
Didn't Richard Dawson die?
I think so, but we're not playing with Richard. It's not like we say, call up Richard Dawson. Hey, by the way, we're going to play. Could you call out some clues for us? You know, could you say survey says? Yes, he is. But I went on Steam. Is it Steam?
Yes.
Steam. And I downloaded, there's a collection, a Family Feud collection. And so we're playing it on the TV because I have a computer hooked up to the TV. It is amazing how horrible games that were probably computer games that were written in the 80s/early 90s are, because I think all the Family Feud games would have been coded around that time. They don't, you know, like even the Family Feud on Facebook and on iOS, if you go there, it's really good at deciphering what you're saying. You know, if it's similar to what the clue is or whatever, it'll give you the points. But those from the 80s and whatever, you know, you have to spell it exactly the way everything. I mean, it's ridiculous. And then it froze up. It froze up on the fast money round like 3 times in a row.
Let's see. I'm trying to do something here really quick. So,
okay. So that's all I wanted to say about games. So we've been playing games. That's basically how our relationship is so boring now that we have to find different games to play with each other. Not really. It's really good, actually. We did have what I would consider to be one of our first fights last night. And it wasn't even really a fight, per se.
But then what? Then
well, I wouldn't even call it a fight. But I had had a discussion with him earlier on in the relationship. And I had said, I would appreciate it if you not keep Grindr on your phone.
Yes.
Because I don't think there's any reason for either one of us to have Grindr, and I've been banned, so you know I'm not getting Grindr, so, you know, and he never has been the hookup type anyway, so I probably shouldn't even care about that. But, you know, I've been burned in the past, and so he had gotten an iPhone recently, and Grindr was on his BlackBerry, and he asked me to look at something on his iPhone last night, and I open it up, and there is Grindr. So he's installed Grindr on his new iPhone. And
yes.
And so we had a little discussion and he said, well, I would never hook up. And second of all, I would never do anything like that to you. He said, I had friends on there and I literally was just installing everything that was on my BlackBerry onto my iPhone. I was just going through the list of apps. He said, I tried it out and I don't even really use it anymore. But we just had this discussion and I said, I know you don't like people telling you what to do, but it would be my preference if you not have Grindr on your phone.
And?
Well, I don't know if he's deleted it or not because I don't like to press him into doing something. It's not like I said, look here, fucker, I want to watch you remove Grindr right now. I didn't do that.
Just as a as a side note here, do you recall how to be an admin? Because I haven't done that in so long. It's like I don't remember how to flip over to.
No, I'm not. You know what? And I don't think I'm admin. So I don't think I can.
Oh, well.
Sorry, everyone in the chat room.
Yeah, basically we have an ass clown in the chat room that's being basically an ass clown. So I don't know what to do to kick him out. I'm sure I could figure it out if I wanted to completely stop the show and whatever. But I don't. So I've just ignored him. So whatever.
How do you do that? Is it /ignore?
No, well, I'm using the web client. I just clicked on his name and chose ignore. Anyway, several people have asked about dad, which I know is a horrible, you know, boring topic for people, but basically, you know what? I don't even want to talk about it.
Well, I will leave it up to you.
No, it's tough. I've realized two things. Number one, that I tend to get choked up when I say nice things. Because it's like, if you think back to Pride 48, the last night, right? I was fine up until I started to say something nice. And once I started to say something nice, I got all choked up, right? I got all emotional and choked up. And then
so
I couldn't
there,
finish.
That explains everything.
So, and so I posted a status on my Google Plus about my dad. Long and the short of it is, you know, he's going to die this week sometime. We don't know when, but not pulled the plug, but they're no longer giving him any kind of life-saving assistance, right? So we're not, no intravenous feeding, no additional, no blood transfusions, no whatever. They are basically going to feed him and manage his pain, but that's it. So he's going home with hospice care. And I was fine. See, I'm fine now talking about that. But then when I had to throw in that extra little line about what dad means to me or whatever, then I got all choked up. So what I've taken away from this is never say anything nice about anything. As long as I don't say anything nice, I'm fine. But as soon as I say something nice, then I get all weepy and such. So
yeah, never. We don't ever want to ask you at a Pride 48 function.
That's right.
To talk about how much any of us mean to you.
No. What you should do instead, you should just bring up something you know will aggravate me, and then just let me just vent, and I'll be fine. It's you can't say anything. But what I am finding annoying about the whole dad situation is that people deal with death in different ways, and I completely understand that, and I respect that, and I appreciate the kind thoughts that are coming from people and people who have reached out to me and, you know, said that my family in there, you know, that I'm in their thoughts or whatever. Thank you so much. Thank you to all of you. And you're all wonderful people. And I really absolutely respect that. But what I'm getting is a little bit of blowback from my family, on this whole idea that, you know, that I need to leave right now and go down there. Right. My dad is non-responsive. He doesn't recognize people. He's not responding to things. And I don't see the value in doing that. I don't see the value in sitting down there in my last memories of my dad being, you know, someone who is slowly, you know, dying. That's not how I want to remember my dad. That's not how I will remember my dad. I kind of feel annoyed that they're kind of like judging me by that. You know, oh, well, you're going to regret that, you know, down the line. Which, you know, my dad just went through brain surgery, where we didn't know if he was going to make it or not. And I took that opportunity to spend a lot of time with him and to talk to him. And I feel like I've already done that. I feel like I have had those last conversations with my dad. I feel like that I've, you know, achieved the right closure that I needed to achieve. And I don't think, you know, seeing him laying around as a vegetable is going to help at all. Does that make any sense whatsoever?
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, I think I lost my dad when I was like 10. And it's a completely different scenario because it was a car accident. But I think you have to decide, you know, it's no one else's place to tell you how you need to deal with it or, you know, what your last memory should be or, you know, that's a very personal thing. So, you know, I totally see where you're coming from there.
It is.
I will say this. I told you this yesterday and I'm not real good. I don't think I'm good, which is surprising to me because I would think that I would be. I'm a pretty sensitive person, but I don't think I'm good at being like thoughtful, like coming up with these really salient, is that a good word? I don't know. A really like good thing, you know, things to say to people.
What was the word you couldn't get right? Now that I've, it was a, oh, damn, I'll forget this. Anyway, go ahead. Go ahead. I completely stomped on your point though.
No, it's okay. So I don't know. I find myself struggling when it comes to being really caring and really, you know, saying something thoughtful and really making people feel better. I want to fix everything. As a man, maybe that's a man thing. But I told you yesterday, and you know this, and not to be too serious, but we all are thinking about you, and not just me,
yeah,
but
I know.
Everyone
people,
else
people
in
have
the
been
family.
Wonderful throughout this whole thing, and you know, nobody online has been like, you know, giving me a hard time. This is all family stuff.
No, I'm just saying we are all there for you and whatever you need from any of us.
And I do. I really appreciate it. And, you know, I sound probably remarkably well composed about the whole thing. And I'm, you know, probably sound like I'm doing fine about it. And I am, but only to the standpoint that, you know, I've got that shield up just like anyone would, right? When you're talking about these things that are in limbo. In the moments that I'm not around other people, in the moments that I'm not, that I don't have that shield up, you know, and I allow myself to dwell on it, I really do fall apart. And I don't know what's going to happen when he dies. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, I've got my brave front on right now. And I've got the, you know, I don't want to look like a blubbering, crying idiot in front of people face on right now. And as long as I don't dwell on it too long, I'm fine. But, you know, to sit and dwell on it, you know, and that's going to be really tough, I think, this week, because Robert's out of town and it's, so So, you know, who knows? I may be calling you on the phone quite a bit.
Well, I will make sure that I have my phone on.
This is great for all those new folks listening. You know, it's the Death and Decay podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Yeah, where we talk about the weather and dying people. It's great. You should absolutely check us out every single week.
Well, you know, one thing people should, our podcast is about our lives. That's part of our podcast. So we're,
you know,
just
what I do. All right, so let's transition about that because okay. I'm tired. All right, so thanks to everyone out there who has had kind thoughts about my father and my family. Thank you guys so much. And for those new people out there who might be going like, oh, that's really sweet and everything, you have to understand that my dad is in his mid-80s, but he's just been a great sport with the whole podcasting thing. We can call him on the show and ask him ridiculous questions and he'll just go with it. And it's great. And
yeah, there's I don't know the number, but if you look back, there's an episode named I'm Pretty Smart for Someone with Half a Brain or something like that. I can't remember the name. It was probably between 5 and 10 episodes ago. I don't know. Right. And it's an interview with your dad. So right. If anyone wants to hear that.
I like that. So I'm new. I don't even know the name of this podcast. Well, excellent. Yes. Hi, Winter Paradox. We are Dubious Intent. So there you go. And welcome. Welcome, new people. We are very welcoming. And normally we're much more upbeat than this. It's cold here, though. I don't know if you've noticed that. Is it starting to get cold there?
Well, off and on. I mean, it got into the, there was a couple of days last week where it got into the 30s and we had some frost. We had some lovely frost. Now it's back up into the 40s, 50s. It's okay. I mean, yes, it is getting cold. It will, you know, I think it's going to get colder and colder, as it usually does.
It does. It has a way of doing that. It's almost as if the year were divided into these sections.
Well, it depends on where you live.
We'll give them an arbitrary name. We'll call them seasons. Just, I don't know, made up word. And that people, you know, go through these seasons and it would get colder and then, you know, warmer again. It's cyclical.
Well, in the Philippines, weirdly enough, they don't have four seasons. And that was right. Really strange to me. I was asking him,
was a contractual thing. I think Smokey Robinson had a deal there where he wouldn't let the four seasons go
right
to the Philippines. All right, let's forget about that. So let's talk about the big 800-pound gorilla in the room, which is these podcast awards. So we have been nominated in the arena of best produced, which we're still not sure what that means.
But we are trying our damnedest to live up to it.
We are delighted. We are delighted to be nominated there. Don't really care if I win or not. That's not important. To be nominated is just swell.
We don't care if we win, but if you're listening to our voice right now,
right, you
go over
go
to podcastawards.com, vote for us for best produced, and all the other Pride 48 shows for what they've been nominated for.
Right.
And then click on submit at the bottom. When you get an email, you are going to get an email.
You don't have to explain to them
that
you don't have to explain.
Yes.
Now you're just pandering. Now you're
I don't care if we win. I mean, you know, do what you want.
We have the most intelligent audience in the universe. They do not need to be told how to vote on a page.
Okay.
Take a number 2 pencil and you want to completely fill in that bubble on your
right.
screen.
Exactly.
So
we don't want any hanging chads on our ballots,
no.
Okay?
We want, well, you know. Hanging Chad
hung
might
Chad.
Be a great right.
If you are a hung Chad and you want to go vote for us,
right?
Please.
Yes, and you'll please send us your picture. All right, so Noah, so let's talk about our competition here that we have in the best produced category. Have you honestly heard of any of these shows before?
No, absolutely not. I have not heard of any of them. I thought, oh, have you? Okay.
You got to remember, I started podcasting in 2004.
Back in the day.
Back
when
in
I
my day. Back when
podcasting.
We used the reel-to-reel machines. I started podcasting back in 2004. I started with a political show called Call Box 7, and it was on the Progressive Podcasting Network. And the Best of the Left podcast is a member of that. Well, was a member of that network at the same time I was. So I'd heard of Best of the Left. And I have heard of Gamertag Radio, but the rest of them, no, I have not heard of them before. So, have you, now here's my second question. Have you listened to any of them? Have you just like gone and like listened to a little bit of their
Absolutely
shows?
Not.
Really?
I don't even want to know what our competition is. I just want to be pleasantly surprised if we win.
Wow. I just like knocked my mic over. Best produced damn show. Throw my mic over.
Right.
You know, what are we talking about here? A $40 or a 40-pound coupon or a 40-pound off coupon is what we get if we win. So, you know,
we get the fame and notoriety. You know, I was thinking about it And, you know, it's brilliant, this guy who runs these awards. We love you, by the way. I mean, I'm not trying to put the awards down or anything like that.
Nameless guy. He's Todd Cochran.
Todd Cochran. Yes. Love you. But I will say this whole thing that you have to vote every day, that is a ploy to get numbers to that website.
Right. All those ads.
Yes. That's what it is. It's not like you want to see how do you think he could
afford? How else do you think he could afford to give £40 off of a coupon at musicradiocreative.com?
Well, you know, it's funny because back through the years, I've kind of glanced at these awards probably for the past couple of years. And it seems like the first year that I looked at it, there was a long list of different things that you would win. And I remember even last year, they were like giving away microphones and other more expensive things. And then now this year, it's just one thing. 140. I think it has gotten less and less and less every year.
Well,
what you win.
Yeah, honestly,
but I'm getting a brand new tuxedo.
Are you gonna go to the big ceremony?
Well, Joey asked me because Joey is planning on going.
This will be our manager, Dr. Reverend Joey L. Buhacker III.
Because I guess when they win for People's Choice, he wants to be able to walk the runway.
Where are we at? How far into the show are we? All right, so I want to cover
30
this.
Minutes.
I want to cover this. So let's okay. So we've got these people in our category here. I've never heard of any. I've heard of two of them. I've heard of Best of the Left and Gamertag. I've not heard of the rest of them. So I, unlike you, because, you know, I love podcasts. I love podcasting. I just do. I love it. I thought to myself, I want to go and just listen to snippets of these other shows. So if you'll indulge me here, I'm going to play some of these. So this is Caustic Soda. You can find them at causticsodapodcast.com. So here they are also nominated for Best Produced. So I'm just trying to listen to these things and see what it is that makes a show best produced. So let's listen to this here.
Remember, a Toy Hut customer can feel the order shipped to every country in the world.
A zero movement policy and hand-packed orders are no match for a good blaster at your side, kid.
You don't believe in Jet's Toy Hut, do you?
Okay, I get it. So this is a Star Wars parody.
A lot of strange stuff, but I've never seen anything to believe a place has the largest selection of Star Wars collectibles.
Apparently they can't afford pop filters.
And Amazon.co.uk. There's no action figure store that controls my collection's destiny.
I suggest you try again, Luke. This time, let go your conscious self. Act on instinct.
With the blast shield down, I can't even see. How am I supposed to order?
Your eyes can deceive you.
Oh, my God. We're like going on like this is like a Leo Laporte commercial. We're like going on the 12-minute commercial mark here.
So this is a commercial.
Apparently, this is a commercial for Toy Spot or whatever the fuck it was. Toy.
My experience, there's no such thing. Jet's Toy Hut are collectors as well, so they know what customer expects.
Toy something.
No, I feel something. I can almost see the seven sizes of custom Toy Hut boxes.
Toy Hut.
That's
there you go.
Good.
Toy Hut. So apparently, they're starting their show off with a commercial for Toy Hut, which let me tell you, fascinating.
ToyHut.com. All too easy.
There you go. Now we start the show. A minute and 30 seconds.
Caustic Soda, Caustic Soda.
Say our name three times and we might just haunt you. I'm Kevin Leeson.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts. I have a healthy respect for trains, though. I'm Torrin Atkinson.
Ghosts aren't real. I'm Joe Folger.
Ghosts might be real. I'm Chris Stewart. And this is Caustic Soda.
All right, this distracts me here because one of them sounds like a Gooch. One of them sounds like Gooch from Vera Speaks. Don't you think? That Joel guy.
Maybe.
You don't even know what Gooch.
Maybe.
No, it's all right. Like sorry. So let's see. Let's keep going here. Big opening. 2 minutes in.
Bam! Ghosts!
Yoinks!
Okay, never mind. I'm sure they're wonderful people.
What is their show about?
I have no idea.
Is it a ghost podcast?
No, well, I think they were doing their Halloween show.
Oh,
they were doing a topical. That show was called Ghost. But as to whatever, let's see, it says Caustic Soda, the podcast that takes on disturbing topics and breaks them down into a bubbling pool of funny.
Oh, okay. Well, I like a bubbling pool of. I like a bubbling pool.
You like a bubbling pool of funny.
I like a bubbling pool of funny.
Who doesn't?
I can't even say that three times,
Right. No, but overall, I would say of our competition, these are the guys to watch, I think. You know, they started, all right, granted, it's a really annoying 12 and a half minute commercial, but it was cute that they did the little Star Wars thing.
Yes.
And they, you know, they put some production elements into that. I think they, you know, we're much more production element than we're throwing at this shit. So I
know,
I think you know,
like the production elements.
I do.
You are a big fan of the production elements.
Now, don't vote for them, by the way. Vote for
right.
us. But I'm just saying, you know, we should probably watch out for them. They're the ones to watch out for there.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Who else have I? Now, two of them are just about television shows. The Fringe podcast and The Tribe.
Oh, so I think we discussed last week that you don't even like discussing TV shows in a podcast. So the fact that the entire show is about one, or the entire podcast is about one TV show, they're probably not getting a big vote from you.
No, well, they're not. None of them are getting a vote from me because
well,
I'm in that category. I'm selfish. I vote for myself every day. But I'm just saying, two of them are about television shows. And then this, the other one that I think we should really watch out for, you know, Gamertag Radio and this Polycast. Those are two gaming podcasts. And I don't care for either one of them. But that's
gaming shows are going to be big competition simply because their listeners are very competitive by nature. They would have to be because they're gamers, right?
But I, you know, well, nah, not necessarily.
So they want to win. And so they're going to want their show to win, right?
I've noticed there's one sweeping thing that I noticed about all of these shows.
And what is that?
They all have sponsors. Apparently, we're the only podcast in the universe that doesn't like hit our audience over the head with like 16 different commercials every single show and pander to, you know. Now, apparently, we're the ones not making millions of dollars off of this medium.
I'm going to tell you what, if I thought that we would make millions of dollars by throwing in some commercials, we would be advertising Sugar Smacks and Trojan condoms and Depends. I will wear some Depends on the video podcast if we would make millions of dollars.
No, I don't think any of them are making millions of dollars.
Well,
anyway, so two of them are about television shows. Two of them are about gaming. So I think that our real competition here is Caustic Soda and this Podcasher show. Have you heard of this Podcasher?
I have heard of none of these shows. So
okay. Podcasher, it sounds kind of cool. They're into geocaching. So they're into, you know, are you familiar with geocaching?
Yes, I am. That's where you take your handheld device that has a GPS on it.
Yes.
And you are given coordinates for some treasure of some sort, and you go and you find that treasure, and then I think you don't keep it. You like move it somewhere else, and then you...
Well, you add something to it. In some cases, you may add something to the little box to say you were there. Other times, maybe you'll take a picture of it to show that you were there, or maybe there's a little pad of paper in there or something. You can write a little message on it or whatever to show that you're... And then you rebury it. You put it back so that the next person can find it.
Do you think there are douches out there that leave stuff that you might not want to find at a geocaching site? Like you go and like there's a big turd in a bag or something in the, you know.
I don't know. You know, it's not of great interest to me, so I'm not going to go back and listen to all 394 episodes of Podcasher to find out if they found something horrible. But production-wise, though, here's their bit. So, something's crashed.
Best produced.
Best produced.
Here,
no. This is on their website. I tried to click on something
website.
To play on their website, and it broke. Here, let's flip over to HTML5, see if that works.
And that sound you hear are the cold, cold waves crashing in the cold water out here. Where are we? We're in Emeryville, California, which is near Oakland, California, which is near Alameda, and that's right across the bay from San Francisco, California.
And that rhymes with T, and that stands for pool. Now, the thing about that is they're using a portable recorder there, and they've got some good sound on it.
Yeah, he actually sounds a lot like Faye Driver. And actually, right as I said that, someone in the chat room, Mr. Mike, said the same thing. And I wasn't. Maybe that recording device just makes all podcasters sound the same.
That's what it is. The Zoom H2 makes them all sound
exactly
the same. No, I'm just saying, because here, she's going to talk in a second.
Right, we flew up here and we're actually on our way to an event cache meet and greet that we're going to be heading to in just a few moments. But we took a little side detour through some heavy traffic to come to a cache location to try to find a cache.
Yep. And so we'll let you know how that goes. We're standing in front of two World War I airplanes, a Sopwith Camel and a Red Baron triplane.
I'm just trying to get to their actual opening. So they're doing a nice little thing here, you know, like, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to be digging this up while the show is going on, right? Mm-hmm. and then we're going to do some, I don't know what else they do.
We'll let you know a little bit later on in the what, show but can't, how we do.
You know, we could have a cooking segment where each of us have something, because we maybe we need to be doing something.
That's what it is. Right, so wait, here's our big intro.
With Podcasher, here we go.
Here we go. I'm a podcasting. Oh, wait, now it's moved. Wait, we started off with like a Woody Guthrie. Apparently, this is the part where do the robot now. I'm going to podcast with my robot moves. Ooh, a little bit of gospel. Yeah. Eh.
I want to hear some Gangnam Style.
I'm. This is a 57-minute podcast. I'm assuming that this theme song is about 56 and a half minutes of this show. Because
I wonder if they have like a dance to their theme.
Oh, wait. That was just the preamble to the intro.
This is the Podcasher Podcast, the podcast all about geocaching.
All right, this is the intro.
Intro. High quality, family friendly shows that are informative, inspirational, and entertaining.
And entertaining.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
They got Siri to do their promo.
Wait, now there's more music. That's right. We still haven't gotten to the show yet, but we're in about 2 minutes and 16 seconds here.
That makes me want to go, Siri.
Hey, I'm
Podcashing.
Sunny. And I'm Sandy. From sunny San Diego, California.
Ooh, now that, my friend, is run through some heavy fucking compression. Okay, did you hear the way that switched there? It's like they're like AM morning guys now, right? Hey, I'm Bob, and welcome to Podcaching. As I run through my compressed audio now, you'll notice that every sort of background noise is completely, completely eradicated.
It's hard to hear through, you know, the audio quality.
I know, you'll hear this in the mix.
Like, right, exactly.
Do that. But I'm just saying. So I think those are our two pieces of competition there. I think Caustic Soda and Podcasher.
But don't go vote for them.
You know, as a matter of fact, if you maybe we should reach out to them. Maybe they're looking for nemesis too. maybe they would like a nemesis, you know, another podcast that they can just like, you know, every show just like say some derogatory thing, you know, like, well, you dug that out of your brain, kind of like those people over on Podcast. You know what I'm saying? Just
I don't know. That's
not even
a good
one. I'm just saying.
Like we're like, I don't even know what we are. We're a gay show about nothing.
About nothing.
And they're about
About something. Right.
So,
but Caustic Soda, Caustic Soda's not. So maybe they.
They, hey, they are a, what are they? They're a something of fools. They're
no,
a
feast of.
No,
fools.
They're a no. Bubbling fool.
They're a bubbling
or
schmeckle of fun.
They yeah. Dissect. What is it? They dissect disastrous topics.
They do something.
No, disturbing topics.
We don't know
every
what they
week.
Do, but they do something and it's amazing. There you go. So don't vote for Caustic Soda or for Podcasher. But if we weren't in this category, I would advocate that you vote for one of the two of them, because they're clearly the two to watch, I think, on this whole thing. If we don't win it, which I don't expect us to, but if we don't win it, I hope that either Caustic Soda or Podcasher doesn't. As you know, I'm happy with anyone winning that category other than the douche asshole from Best of the Left. As long as Best of the Left doesn't win anything, I'm fine. Because Best of the Left exemplifies everything that is wrong with this world.
Wow. That, you know, that is a strong statement that you have just said right there.
Everything that is wrong with this world in this universe is exemplified in the douchebaggery of the guy that does Best of the Left.
You know, maybe that should be their new tagline if they don't have one. You know, Best of the Left. Everything that is wrong with this world.
Everything that is wrong with this world. Best of the Left. And I know you're saying, you know, that you're correct. That is a very, very strong statement for me to make. And what is my proof? What is my backing up here of this? Now, keep in mind, I was on the same network as this guy a long time ago, 2004. Right.
Right.
So I do have some former association with him. In fact, I find it amusing here on his website. He still has a link to Callbox 7, which has not been in production for 6 years. But, you know, he's still got a link there going over to Callbox 7, which doesn't even exist anymore. But, you know, that's fine. Now, but here's the thing. I'm just going to read you this little biography here, right? Scroll down here to The Great Recession of 2008-2009 was the instigation to convert my longtime podcasting hobby into a part-time job to supplement my shrinking income. It started as a very poorly paying part-time gig in June of 2009 and turned into a slightly better paying full-time gig in February of 2010, now able to pour all my time and efforts into the podcast, thanks entirely to the members of the show. I feel like I'm finally able to have the greatest impact for positive change that I'm capable of, all while doing something that I truly love. All right, so this guy is basically making his living now by doing this podcast.
Well, that's okay. I mean, if you and I can make a living.
Stop.
No, go ahead.
Stop it.
Sorry.
Stop. I don't want to go all Ann Romney on you here, but stop it.
No, I think you do want to go all Ann Romney on me.
No. You know what? If it was the podcasting guys that were making a living doing their podcast, I would, yay, bravo, yay. If
but
it was us that was doing it,
you cannot stand the douchebaggery making
no,
a living.
No, I'm coming to a point here. God damn it, I am coming to a point. My point here is that the Best of the Left podcast, he takes copyrighted pieces of commercial radio shows and strings them together into a program, and then solicits donations for basically stealing copyrighted material, copyrighted music, bundling them all together, and then putting them out as a package. He does not create one fucking piece of content himself. He is not commenting on things. He is not providing commentary. He is not doing, he is stealing. He is a common petty thief. He is taking the Young Turks, a commercially paid for, you know, a commercial vehicle that is copyrighted, cutting that up and redistributing it willy-nilly for free. He is taking the Rachel Maddow show. He is taking, let's just go back here to his, on this most recent episode now. On his most recent episode, he is stealing from...
Previously on The Best of the Left.
He is stealing from Mark Fiore. I don't know who that is. He's stealing from David Pakman. He's stealing from the Young Turks. He's stealing several different songs that I'm just skipping over here. He's stealing from the Majority Report. He's stealing from Rachel Maddow. He's stealing again from David Pakman, again from the Young Turks. He's stealing from Throwing Shade. He is stealing from the David Pakman Show again, Young Turks again, and the Jimmy Dore Show. Now, keep in mind, all he is doing is stringing together commercially popular shows. And, you know, there would be nothing wrong with that if those shows were getting some kind of remuneration for that. But here's these people that go out and do their own thing. You know what? I've listened to Young Turks. It's a great show. I've listened to the Rachel Maddow Show. It's a great show. But you know what? They have a staff. They do a lot of research. They spend a lot of time and energy in making these things and spend a lot of money on it, quite frankly. And you are basically just stealing it. You're stealing content. You are not giving back to the people who you are stolen from. You are merely stealing from them. And then basically making a living off of stealing from other people, which, you know, would be great if it was the car show or some other kind of weird, you know, douchebaggery thing. But you have to wrap this up into liberalism now. It's like, I'm a liberal. That offends me that you are basically a thief, a common thief. There you go.
Isn't it? Well, okay. And I get your point, but isn't it kind of, that's allowed though, right? If you're doing like a...
No, it is not allowed. It is not allowed. Now, if he were to play a clip of a show like we just did earlier and provide commentary about it, original commentary about it, that would be acceptable because that falls under fair use and that is called commentary. But the general rule that people go by is that there would be more of your own original content than of the piece that you played. So if I wanted to play a segment from the Rachel Maddow Show and then you and I have a conversation about what she talked about, that is basically us commenting on other things, and that is called fair use. We can do that.
Or that lovely clip we played.
The lovely clip that we played. Chicken McNuggets. These are things that we you know, you're making commentary on, and that is fair use. The Daily Show does it all the time, right? They're going to play clips in order to accent and to bring the audience up to speed on their own original commentary. This guy is not providing a single piece of original commentary. He is basically taking other people's stuff and repackaging it.
Well, good luck.
It annoys me. And you know what? We can get into a whole conversation about whether the copyright laws are applicable, you know, whether they're right or not, or whether he should be allowed to do that. This plain, simple matter of it is that he can't do that. It is illegal to do what he does. And here we are, you know, if for the 100th year in a row, nominating him for an award. He is a thief. He is doing illegal. I don't know why he hasn't been shut down yet, other than the fact that, you know, it's no one's maybe pointed it out to all of these copyright holders. that he's basically just redistributing their stuff every week for free. And I say this, by the way, that that previously mentioned political show that I used to do, Callbox 7, was once featured on Pod Show with Adam Curry. Now, that's the way it is done, sir. They contacted us ahead of time and said, hey, we're going to talk about your show. We'd just like to give you a heads up that we're going to be talking about your show. We're going to play a clip from it. Now, they didn't have to because they were providing commentary about it, but they did. They kind of gave us a heads up for it. I guarantee you he's not giving those shows any kind of heads up for about it. And you know what? God damn it. It's why do you have to go with commercial shows? You know, there are hundreds of independently produced political podcasts out there that want you to give them some exposure, that want you to play their stuff. Why not air those? They're under Creative Commons and they want you to use their stuff. Why not use them? Then you could continue to do your stuff and not be a thief.
So the moral of this story is, I'm just going to break it down here for the audience in case
I think Ravitas in the chat room has summed this up very succinctly, which is the moral of this story is, get off my lawn, you damn kids.
Right. Daniel does not enjoy the best of the left.
No. I do not respect him because he is a thief.
How dare you, sir?
That's all I'm saying. It has nothing to do with it. I enjoy a lot of the shows that he steals from. I'm just saying that I don't respect him because he is a thief. That's all.
I think you should challenge him to a duel.
Pistols at dawn
is what you should do.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, get it, face
DI Plus Technologies. Jesus Christ. GI Plus Technology segment brought to you by Podcaching. Nominated for Best Produced Podcast. You should really go and check them out.
But don't vote for them.
Don't vote for them.
Oh my God. So I don't want to get too geeky because that would be
How long
really...
have we been going on? We've just been like, I'm so sorry.
Let's go back, ladies and gentlemen, and count the number of minutes that you went on. Anyway,
you know what? Yeah, that rant, was there enough time for you to, like, you could have given your cookie recipe in the time that I did that rant.
You know what? We would have had the moistest, most delicious cookies in the amount of time that it took you to give that rant. So I've decided that I'm going to choose for now to do Windows 8 programming.
Windows 8 programming.
Yes.
Now, when you say Windows 8 programming, I'm assuming that you're talking about Windows RT or WinRT programming.
Well, no, just Windows 8 store
programming. Windows store programming.
So
Windows 8, it still does have a full desktop, and you could, you know, so there's stuff that you wrote for Windows 7 will still run on Windows 8. Stuff that you write for Windows 8 on the desktop will still run on Windows 7. What you're talking about is the new, we don't call it Metro anymore, but the new WinRT, the Windows Runtime Environment.
Yeah. So, and I have no idea what app I'm going to write. I'm just going through tutorials. But one thing that I will say about this whole process is it's kind of confusing. Because you can write in a multitude of languages.
Yes, you can.
And there are two basic paths that you can go in the programming. Besides the languages themselves, you can do either a more .NET, C#, whatever kind of path that is the full, you know, Windows whatever.
AKA real programming. Or
right.
You can go the HTML5 CSS JavaScript route.
Yeah. So, and you say that now, but I was going back and forth, you know, Adam, which one are you going to choose?
Oh, you're going to make me hate you, aren't you?
Please
tell me you chose the correct one.
As per usual on this show, how you and I differ, I decided to start. I don't say that this is the way that I'm going to go forever and ever, but since I already have some of that experience, I decided I would just put my toe in the water using the HTML5 JavaScript route. Don't hate me.
I'm not hating you. I feel bad that you've it's like who's it like? It's like your friend that you know constantly chooses the one-off brand of what they really should be getting, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I can easily do the other. I mean, I know Visual Basic, so I could.
You shouldn't be using. Nobody uses Visual Basic anymore.
Well, maybe they don't. Well, actually, anyway, that's probably not a good thing to point to. But most of the programs at my company that I work for are in Visual Basic.
Pendulum-wise, we went through that horrible period of our lives where we had the VV .NET folks, like trying to pretend like they were, you know, just as relevant. And then now we've swung back. Now the C# programmers are over there. And actually, it's going to start to swing the other way because with .NET 4.5, there's actually a C++ .NET library or incorporation there. So a lot of your Windows 8 API stuff is now available to C++ programmers. So I think you're going to see a lot of new stuff coming out from a lot of these C++ folks that have not been in the party as of late.
So I've been trying to, I'm going to ask you a question in a second, but so I've been trying to just go through tutorials and stuff like that just to kind of get my hands around it. And I guess I thought, because I read, you know, there's not a lot of information on what should you choose if you're starting out. There are various opinions, but there is not a lot out there.
Yes.
And I was thinking that the HTML5 route might make it more compatible with phone, tablet and desktop, well, not desktop, but I mean a PC Windows 8 install. So it might cross all three more easily than the other route, but I could be completely wrong, which normally I am, you know.
You would, in this instance, all right, so we have to make this distinction here for those who may be following this conversation. The difference is that we are not advocating, all right, so when they say HTML5, CSS, JavaScript, it is not in the same sense that you would, let's say, write a Chrome app in that way, because writing a Chrome app in that way, you're basically, you've got your JS libraries that are being pulled down with it, right? So your full JavaScript libraries are being pulled down with the application so it can all be bundled nice together. In this case, in the world of Windows 8 or WinRT programming, what is happening is that the underlying JavaScript is being abstracted into the Win API so that it appears as though they are JavaScript functions. But there is no underlying JavaScript that would get pulled down. It is a locally running blob of HTML and JavaScript, right, which gets compiled out to bytecode, as opposed to you thinking of a separate website being run over here. So if you were going to develop an HTML5 JavaScript website, then yes, that would be cross-platform by definition, right? It's web-based. So anything that can run a web browser that would understand HTML5 and JavaScript could run it. But in your case, the road that you were traveling down is to use those tools in order to interface with a local abstraction of, it will only run under the RT. It would never run anywhere else. It will only run there. So keeping that in mind, you're better off in Visual Studio, because anytime you're in a new place like this, anytime you're in a new programming environment or a new paradigm in programming, that you really do kind of fall back on the IDE to provide a lot of IntelliSense information for you that you don't have to constantly look up. Those are things that you're not going to have doing your JavaScript programming, right? You're not going to be able to do widget dot and then have the IntelliSense bring up your valid choices, mainly because JavaScript is a dynamically typed language, not strictly typed. But even so, the point is that you're much, much better off in C# or VB, even in Visual Studio, so that you have that IntelliSense guiding you so that you're not sitting
I will say I am using Visual Studio, but there is less of that knowledge.
Yes,
intelligence,
the IntelliSense
there.
Even with the new VS 2012, which does, you know, has a full JavaScript engine running in the background to help provide more IntelliSense stuff. You know, it's just, it's a major, and I hate to say the word because I've already used it once, but it is a major paradigm shift, because JavaScript is a dynamically typed language. It's not a strictly typed language. So
is the styling, and we'll move on because this is boring everyone except for you and I, but is the styling...
As if the first hour of the show didn't...
Right. The first hour of the show was gold, but
gold,
now we are moving into... Anyway, so I'm bringing it down even further here for all those new listeners who were like,
it's all right. I got my finger on the button, but go ahead.
So the styling, style sheets are fairly easy, and an HTML page is fairly easy for me to lay out all the GUI and all that for the application. I know how to do that. I've done web design before.
Yeah, but you have so many tools available in VS for, if you take the C# or VB route, and I would highly recommend the C# route, but if you're going to take that route, all of your UI is handled in XAML. So it's like you're basically doing drag and drop on your UI anyway. And it comes now with Blend. So anything that you can't handle natively in the VS editor there, you can run Blend and do all kind of UI stuff there. So the UI is divorced from the logic is what I'm trying to say. It's, the way it's written is a XAML C# pairing, so that you have XAML handles your UI pieces and then the C# handles the code behind.
All right. Well, I won't ask any more questions because I don't want to bore the audience. So there you go. I'm attempting to, we'll see what I do. I'll give weekly reports.
We will wait with bated breath to find out what you do and whatever. Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it,
use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, write it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag it, drop it, zip and zip it, buy it, use it, break it, fix it.
The new.
Was it news time? Because I was like,
yes, it
oh
was.
God,
it was.
There's something
and
it,
you
I
know what,
play.
If I was on that podcasting show, I could go, the news.
Right.
I could do that.
Or if you were on the show that you don't like, we could pull clips of other podcasts.
That's right.
Giving their readings of
the
news.
I could pull clips of other people from copyrighted shows and play it, and then I could be
right.
Just like best of the left.
We could exactly. We could play John Stewart or whoever. We could play him reading
right.
News stories for the news.
The news, right?
So, a Polish firm that makes coffins has angered the Catholic Church by trying to drum up business with a calendar depicting topless models posing next to its caskets.
What?
Yeah, one image from the 2013 edition of the calendar has a blonde model wearing only a skimpy thong and with a snake draped around her neck, reclining on a coffin. In another, a woman wearing a crimson corset is depicted pulling out the heart of a man lying on a casket.
Excellent.
So the guy owner says, my son had the idea of creating the company's calendar so that we could show something half serious, colorful, beautiful. The beauty of Polish girls and the beauty of our coffin.
Easy, breezy, cover girl.
Anyway, so if you want, I don't know where you get this from, but apparently, you know, I don't know, maybe, you know, they're selling some more, some coffins that way.
Right, selling more, the chat room says Betty White.
Well, you know, I find that nude models will sell just about anything. So, you know, good luck to them.
You know what? That's what you should write. There you go. That should be your first Windows 8 program is a freaking soundboard.
I told you there is a soundboard that you could download.
It's only Windows 8 phone, or it's only Windows phone. It's not a Windows 8.
Oh, I thought they were. Okay. An Asian elephant named Koshik can imitate human speech, saying words in Korean that can be understood by speakers of the language.
Yeah, but can the elephant speak in a real language?
Well, I don't. He can speak.
Not that. That's not even real language. It was like ask John Ong.
I think there are some Koreans out there that would sorely disagree with you on whether their language is real or not.
Well, it depends on what the meaning of real is.
Actually, it depends. You know, because actually, you know, you bring up a good point.
I'd move that. I'm sorry.
Because there are times when I've been told that you can throw cans up against the wall and a Korean might understand what the can is saying as it hits the wall, you know, the noises that it makes. So, you know, an elephant.
So the elephant throws cans against the wall and the Korean.
No, have you ever heard the joke where, you know, how do Asian people name their kids? They just throw things against the wall and whatever noise it makes, you know?
In fairness, I don't even think I know what Korean sounds like. Let's see. Hello, I am a award nominee. So let's see what this sounds like, first of all, in English.
Hello, I am an award nominee.
All right, and now let's see. I want to send this to what, Korean? Is that what we said?
Korean, yes.
Korean. Let's see what that sounds like.
안녕하세요. 저는 이 수상 후보입니다.
You know, if she just put a little or whatever the elephant sound that they make, you know.
I don't see elephant here on my Google translation page.
You know, then, you know, it would sound. Anyway. So it's unclear why Koshik started mimicking human speech, but cognitive biologist Angela Stoger and Tecumseh Fitch suggest in research.
I want to be a cognitive biologist. That sounds like an amazing job.
They suggest published in the journal Current Biology that it might be related to his experiences as a juvenile.
Right. Grivita says that Anyo Hasayo is Korean for haro.
Right. So there you go. There is an elephant who can now speak Korean.
An elephant who can say
안녕하세요. 저는 이 수상 후보입니다.
Right. So if you've ever thought that those Asian languages were hard to learn, even an elephant, the brain the size of a peanut,
which is why they are the symbol of the Republican Party.
Exactly.
DI Plus birthday segment brought to you by
안녕하세요. 저는 이 수상 후보입니다.
Oh, shit. You know what? I was going to tell everyone in the chat room they should be listening for titles because I hate having to come up with the title. So I thought I could put that off on the chat room.
Yes.
If you guys have any ideas of titles for this show, then they please put those in the chat room.
Candidato de la concesión.
How about that one?
I can't spell that. And how the fuck would we end next week's show?
We would just play the same. You know, I may not even be here next week. I may be attending a funeral, so it would be someone else's problem, not mine.
All right, here is our first birthday.
You would say just like a IKEA.
Hey, jag är nu Michaelsen nominerad.
Right, what she said.
Right.
Here we go. Maybe. Hold on, one moment.
Jag hatar att komma på rubriker.
Here's the problem. I mute my PC so those Windows 8 noises wouldn't come through, and then I forgot that it was muted. So here we go. Let's try that again.
Simpsons. Okay, so this is The Simpsons, so it could be any one of the voice actors, or you could have gone the other way and gone for the actual creator of The Simpsons. I'm going to say it's Yeardley Smith.
No.
No. I don't know.
I'll give you, because this is hard. I'll give you, it's Homer.
Oh, so it's Dan Castellaneta.
Exactly. Dan Castellaneta.
I think I said that right, because I think I said it wrong last year when you played this birthday on the exact same one last year, and I said it wrong, and then Vera Charles called on our voicemail line and corrected me in how to say the name.
Look, there are only so many birthdays, so if you guys want to keep track of the list from last year, then, you know, I'm trying not to repeat, but only so many with music.
No me gusta dar con títulos.
You know, some of them, I'm going to, like, presidents and stuff like that. What am I supposed to do? Like, recite speeches and things, you know, for you to know? I have to pick someone that has music associated with it. Okay, so Dan Castellaneta, I think. Did I say it wrong, too?
I hate coming up with titles.
Turned 55.
55 years young. You know, he's a few years behind Vera Charles.
All right. Happy birthday. Here we go.
Happy birthday. Dope.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Monday, happy days.
Okay, so it's either the creator of Happy Days, or it is one of the people that plays in Happy Days. I'm going to go with Ron Howard.
No, I don't remember how they used to say this one. It's the Fonz.
Yeah, so it's Henry Winkler.
Yes, it is Harry Winkler. Harry Winkler is turning, or has turned, 67.
Isn't it Henry Winkler?
Yeah, it might be.
Harry Winkler.
Henry Winkler.
We apologize. Dubious Intent would like to apologize to Harry Winkler for inadvertently saying that it was your birthday today.
Harry Winkler, it's not his birthday. So don't anyone send a card to Harry Winkler, whatever you do. It's Henry. All right, so here's our next one.
Ah, see now that right there is a crucial because at first you might think, oh, this is either David Bowie or what's his name, Freddie Mercury, but no, because it's not dun 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 da da dun dun, it's dun 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 da da dun dun, which would mean that it is Vanilla Ice.
It is Vanilla Ice. Who did he steal this from? Is it one of those?
He stole it from David Bowie.
Okay,
the song was called Under Pressure. Which was, here, I will play you a clip of that. Let's see, Under Pressure.
You know, it's got a nice little catchy beat.
Well, yeah, that's because he basically stole that from David Bowie. So the original one was...
Oh, wow. It's the same.
See, that's the...
Wait, now I can argue on Vanilla Ice's behalf that apparently... The Best of the Left does something similar.
Sure, exactly.
So,
right.
You know, and they're nominated for a podcast award. There is nothing wrong with that at all.
Here's the thing. But when you guys talk about that, right? Well, not when you guys, but when you talk about that, right? If you're stealing a song like that, and you're not adding your own content to it, if you're just like doing like those DJ mixes that they put out, they pay the ASCAP fees for those songs. So the artists that did the song still are getting paid. That's all I'm trying to say. This isn't a case of, you know, Best of the Left is paying ASCAP and Rachel Maddow is getting her 35 cents or whatever.
So Vanilla Ice, he turned 45 years old.
45 years young.
All right, here is, you know, there's a bit that they do on this radio show that I listen to where they give porn stars names, birthdays,
yes. Yes.
And then they call out names of porns that they've been in, and it's hilarious because some of the names of these porns are really hilarious. But I haven't found a good location to find porn star birthdays or the list of actual films that they've been in.
Right.
So if anyone wants to help me out with that, that would be, you know, finding porn star birthdays and funny titles of things that they've been in would be nice. Would be funny, I think. All right, here's the next one.
Do you follow? This sounds very 70s. Is this 70s? Very 70s. It's like a 70s TV show?
It is a TV show. You know, I used to watch this and I was
Mr. Mike in the chat room is saying it's Heart to Heart.
That is cheating, sir.
Well, I don't know who the fuck was in Heart to Heart. I'm trying to think back to last year, though. It's the dude. Is it Jonathan Hart?
It's not the dude.
Oh, that's what I meant. It's the woman, Mrs. Hart.
It's the chick. Yeah, it's Mrs. Hart. It is. Do you know her name?
No, but I think she's on podcasting now.
So it's Stephanie Powers.
Stephanie Powers. Excellent.
And for some reason, I thought that. That was their name, like her name in the show as well, but it's Heart to Heart, so their last name must have been Hart. Anyway, she turned 70 years old. And I
70.
Used to,
70 years.
Yeah, I used to watch that show. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know the years that the show was actually on because I'm sure it could have been in reruns and I watched it, but I did used to watch that show. So
excellent.
There you go. Here is our last birthday for this week. I'm sure.
Here's our next to last birthday.
The last one that I have.
So actually, I'm going to say next to the last, but go ahead.
It's the last one that I have here
okay,
on
good.
This end of the studio.
Excellent.
And I will tell you right now, this is the host.
The host.
Not the creator, not the anything else, the host.
No, the host.
Yes. Okay, here we go.
This would be, too bad we couldn't ask our fellow award nominees, The Tribe Podcast, for this.
Right?
Because they're all about Jeff Probst, and it would be is indeed Jeff Probst's birthday, is it not?
It is. Jeff Probst, or however you say his name, is 50 years young.
50 years young. I think he's going to do his own talk show now.
He is. It's the Jeff Probst Show, I believe is what it's
that's
called.
That's an amazing name.
You know, that'd be fitting. He should call fitting. It something like The Tribe.
I think that one was taken.
Well, I will say that this season, I don't watch that show anymore. I used to, but I will tell you this season, two interesting facts for our listeners about this season of Survivor.
Yes.
One is it is in the Philippines.
It is. And they speak Tagalog.
Yeah. Tagalog, not Tagalog.
Yeah, right.
Where Mittens is from.
Yes.
Although he did not grow up wherever their film. I mean, you know, he didn't live in a hut like, you know, they're having to.
Live in huts.
The second thing is in the beginning of that show, there is the opener. They show a monkey, a little tiny monkey.
Was it Mittens' childhood monkey?
No. Yes, exactly. They borrowed Mittens' monkey. No, I asked him, did they have monkeys roaming around in the Philippines?
Yes.
Because in India, you know, they have cows and monkeys all over the place. So I thought maybe they have wild animals. No, apparently it's very, you don't normally see monkeys in the Philippines.
Only see monkeys in the Philippines on Survivor and The Amazing Race.
Right. And he's never crossed paths with a monkey in the Philippines except at the zoo.
Yes, which is where one should.
But this monkey, this type of monkey is the world's smallest monkey, and it's an endangered species. So that's your, I don't know the name of the monkey, but look at the beginning of this year's Survivor. That monkey is the world's smallest monkey.
Gravitas in the chat room has posted a photo of naked Jeff Probst.
It's broken. It says broken link in my, oh, wow.
Well, apparently it's no longer broken because you're,
I clicked on it. The thing in the chat room looks like it's broken, but it's got a black box.
Oh my.
You know, that could be Photoshopped.
All right. So let's move on. We've got two birthdays that I'm aware of. We may even have more, but two of them that I'm aware of.
You know, can I say one more thing?
What?
How come is it that Gravitas and, who is the other one? Another one of the Pride 48 listeners, if they're in the chat room, no matter what you say, they can always come up with a naked photo that matches that topic.
They're like They're like, the word's not, there's not a right word for it. It's not idiot savant because they're not idiots, but they're like savants. They're like some kind of porn savant.
I was expecting to see a picture of a naked monkey, you know, also. Right. But
I believe they are porno savants. So that,
I guess so.
If you were to say something, they could immediately.
Jeremy is the other one.
Jeremy. I don't know what that means.
I can't think of his screen name at the moment, but his real name is Jen.
Oh, there you go. Eukogen. All right. So yes. So this is what I wanted to say. Mr. Mike, 1972, or is it just Mr. Mike 72? Well, he's Mr. Mike 72 in the chat room right now. But Mr. Mike, who was our backup dude in Vegas who helped us run the boards and everything, he's got a birthday. Happy birthday, Mr. Mike.
Oh, happy birthday. Do you have a theme song that you'd like us to play?
What would the Mr. Mike theme song be? I don't know what that would be. And while you're thinking about that, someone who does have a theme song, but I can't find it, would be Stephen from Wisconsin, who is got a birthday coming up this coming week.
Happy birthday to both of you.
And in case I'm out next week, Lurie Dean has a birthday coming up as well. So.
Well, happy birthday to all of you. And you know what? I did see Stephen's name on the list from last year.
Right.
So.
Steven doesn't talk to me anymore, so I don't know. All right, anyway, so happy birthday to everyone, and yeah, there you go. Excellent.
Take a drink.
Very well. So we've got a fair share of voicemails and emails here. Where should we start, Adam? Should we start with the emails or the voicemails?
What do we normally start with? You know what? We should start with, what do you want, chat room? Do you want voicemails or do you want emails? And now we're going to have to tap dance because it's going to take 7 seconds probably for the chat room to respond. And I don't know what we usually start with.
All right, fine. I'm going to start right here with this email because it confuses me. They say voicemail.
Yeah, they say voicemail.
Oh, fine. I won't start with this email. All right, let's play our very first voicemail, shall we? Hello.
Hello. This is Larry Elson from Enski Sledge.
Hi.
Happy Halloween. I'm enjoying the show.
Yes. Happy.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Happy Halloween to you as well.
Well,
Larry.
Happy Halloween to you. You know, we had Halloween was postponed here in Connecticut. I don't know when we're going to have it redone.
Sorry, I was reading the chat room. What were you saying?
The Halloween was postponed because of Sandy here.
Oh, so, yeah. Are you guys going to do it later?
I don't know. I just know that the governors of the states had to get on television and tell us all not to go trick or treating it.
Maybe you should do it on Christmas Day.
I think we should dress up on Christmas Day and go trick-or-treating. All right, let's listen to our second and coincidentally our last voicemail. Let's listen to that one, shall we?
Sure.
Hi, this is Larry, also known as Q Sledge. Just let me be the first to congratulate you guys on your podcasting nomination.
Yeah.
The voting starts soon and...
It's already started.
Well...
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. And
you know,
don't you dare vote for podcasting.
You know, Larry, what I want to say is not only are you the first, but you are the only.
You're the only. Now, that's not fair. That is not fair because lots of people congratulated us on the very day. They just didn't call in, but that's all right. You wouldn't expect them to call in for that. There, lots of people congratulated us on Facebook and on Twitter and on Google+.
Yes, that is true. Thank you all. Thank you all for that.
Lots of those things. You see, Adam, we need them to vote, so you can't make fun of them yet. Wait until next show. Then we can make fun of them again.
Sorry. We love you. I wasn't making fun of you at all in the
least. Can you just cut that piece out? All right. So let's go here to our voicemail. Our email. Our very first email comes in from Rod. This makes no sense to me. Rod, I am a simple girl, down to earth. I am very loving and caring. I have a great sense of humor. My friends say that I am shy, but I know I am a very easygoing person. I am very open-minded and open to any good thing.
Maybe it's the monkey from Survivor.
I didn't put this there. You put it where? I didn't see this email.
It came in to the contact at dubiousintent.com.
I'm not getting some of these.
Well, we already know this is a problem. Sometimes I get them and you don't, and sometimes you get them and I don't, but it was there nevertheless.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, I'm happy for you, Rod, who are a, what was it again? You are a simple girl. No, it says I'm a simple girl, down to earth. Very loving and caring.
But you have big eyes. If you're the monkey on Survivor. Oh, the other thing I was going to say about Survivor is, guess who is on there this year?
Mittens.
No.
No.
Lisa Welchel is on
there this year. Yes, Blair. Blair from The Facts of Life.
You know, the sad thing about it is, this is not a celebrity season of Survivor. No, so Lisa Welchel is just on there as a normal, everyday chick. And in fact, I think that not all of the contestants even know that she is Blair from
I am actually watching Survivor. No, one of the people on her tribe knows, but the rest of them don't. Because, my God, Facts of Life was on 100 years ago, and these are all 20-somethings, and they're like, I don't know.
I don't watch that, but as soon as it came on the TV the other night, I said, that's Blair.
Yes, but you're a gay man.
Well, that is true. I am a gay man.
All right, let's move on to our next email here. Hello, can you tell me when your shows are normally streaming? I would love to listen in sometime. Thanks, Brandon. Hey, did we reply?
You know, I don't know if I replied, but I thought it'd be good to reply on the show because one thing we don't do is I don't think we ever say on the show when it is that we're streaming. You say
I disagree. We say that all
live.
We stream live on Pride 48 every Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern time.
Oh, and that's
there you go,
Brand
Troy. He figured it out. But yeah, so we every afternoon, I thought that you were going to reply to it. You thought that I was going to reply. I apologize, Brandon. We should have replied.
I might have. I can't remember, to be honest.
Right. So every Sunday afternoon, 4 p.m. Eastern time, we stream on pride48.com. So you just go to pride48.com and then you can just listen. Or if you're if you got your new snazzy Windows 8 box, just download the app called TuneIn Radio. That also is available on almost all smartphones. We're in there too. You can just search for Pride 48 in TuneIn Radio and then you'll have a direct link to our streaming audio server. And then, when we're on every Sunday afternoon, 4 p.m., you can listen in either on your smartphone or on your computer. Or if you want to go to the next step and see our ugly little mugs, you can do that on Google+ because we also do video.
You know, you know what I'll do? I'll put the live streaming time on the website.
That would be amazing.
I will do that.
That would be amazing.
This week.
Do that. All right. Let's get to our final email then, shall we? It comes in from the one and only Dr. Wesley Pythagoras Stone, who writes, hi, Adam and Daniel. I don't know if you've changed anything in the way you produce your program, but I noticed something unusually different about your last show. Did you listen to our last show?
I only edited it.
I noticed something unusually different about it, too. I was much louder than you.
Oh, God, I knew you would know. I couldn't fix it. Yes, I noticed that. I tried to fix it and I couldn't. God, okay. I knew you would notice that. You weren't that much louder, just a little bit louder. Just
excellent.
Oh, I knew you would notice.
Getting back to Dr. Stone's comment here. Every time I stop the podcast and start it again, it starts from the beginning, which I hear, by the way, is a very good place to start. It's rather frustrating that I can't resume from the place I paused it, especially since Daniel has always strongly held that podcasts shouldn't be limited to a set amount of time and that listeners can pause and start them again anytime they want to. I thought you should know that the change is not user-friendly because I wouldn't want you to lose the nomination for Best Produced Podcast. Well, A, too late. We've already been nominated. B, I don't know what you're talking about. Now, I don't know. We sent you back an email and asked what device you're using.
iPod.
Because everything I've tested it on, and for those of you on video, I've tested it on an Android phone. I've tested it on an iPod Classic. I've tested it on my computer. I have tested it on my Android tablet. I have tested it on this Mac Mini that's back over here. I've tested it on all of these devices, and it works correctly on all of them.
There is nothing that I did differently.
And I'm asking chat room, is anyone having that problem where you pause the episode and then it starts again at the beginning? Is anyone have that problem specifically on the last episode? And I don't know that anyone does.
You know,
I think,
from now
you know,
on,
consider the source.
When we ask the chat room something,
yes,
we need to play that.
I know.
You know, because we have to wait for them to, like, you know, respond.
We could play the Jeopardy. Let's see. We got another email that came in this morning, and I think it came into me and not you. So let me find that here. Yes, it did, because I was the one that asked the question, not you. It comes in from MB, who wrote us last time, who this is our, if you'll recall, previously on Dubious Intent. We got an email from a blind listener. And I asked at the very end of the show, I said, hey, what's the, tell me how our websites work with your thing. The screen reader. Because in other words, I wanted to assess the general handicap, or not handicap, so the general accessibility features of our websites and how they work with those tools. Because, you know, that's what we do, right? That's what I do. I write web apps. That's what I get paid for in real life. So I was curious as to how the website that you maintain was functioning. Now you see, now you're going to take that as a personal affront, aren't you?
What? That you wanted to know how it was?
I was curious.
No, not yet. Not until you say it functioned like shit.
No, I can't control. So here's what happened. So, hello, Daniel. Hope all is well and that you made it safely through Frankenstorm last week. I did, by the way. Thank you. I didn't even lose power once. Adam wears a hat to cover up thinning on the back of his head. Adam noted this on the After Pride 48 podcast following a comment someone made on that. So, see? That's how he knew that. I think because we were talking about your hat and you said, well, how would you know? Anyway, all right. I had a chance to visit the Pride 48 and the Dubious Intent web pages this morning so I could answer your question from the podcast about the web accessibility to Pride 48 and DI Plus via screen reader. The Pride 48 page is very easy to interact with when I used a screen reader such as JAWS for Window, which is what he uses. The Dubious Intent page is also good. However, some of the buttons in the Flash player frames are not labeled, so I don't know exactly what they do.
Okay. Which are the Flash player frames? Because those are third-party things like YouTube.
One of them donates all of your money to us, so make sure you click on that.
Right.
In these cases, my screen reader tells me that I am a numbered button, that I am at a numbered button because there is no text associated with it. I wouldn't take that to heart because I frequently encounter that on Flash player items on the webpage of the company I work for and other pages as well. And yes, in this case, we're using a third-party plugin, so we have very little controller.
Yeah, I want to use something different for I don't know what she's talking about. The only two plugins we have are we embed the YouTube video.
Yes.
So I don't know how their buttons, and I assume that's some, it may not be Flash though, because it depends on what device you're on. And then we use the audio player is from PodTracker.
It's probably the audio, because the audio's got buttons down at the bottom, the subscribe button, the mobile button, the embed button, and the customize. So it's probably those.
So sorry for that. It's third party, but.
Yeah. Anyway, regardless, he's saying he's used to it, so he's fine. Let's see. There are some guidelines on the web that may help in answering questions about accessible web development. Search with keywords 508 web accessibility. You may also want to share some of the information you find with Adam so he can get an idea of what web accessibility is and how it works.
I know what web accessibility is.
Looking forward to hearing it. No, he clearly has picked up on the fact that I know everything.
Yeah, well... Exactly.
You're going to go do that best of the left podcast now.
I do have to say you do win more frequently on You Don't Know Jack than I do.
Oh my God.
I did beat you once.
You paid 200 coins to go and play an extra game where you beat me.
I did not pay anything.
All right.
I had
So if you're on Facebook at all, which I'm not a huge Facebooker, but I really, really, really love You Don't Know Jack. So and it's available on Facebook and you can play. So if you are on Facebook and play You Don't Know Jack, make sure that you friended me so that then we can compete against each other in the thing. What were you just holding up? By the
Daniel
way,
Daniel frequently wins.
What were you holding up?
Because he has
up?
No life and nothing else to do except
what
for study
were you
trivia, apparently.
What were you holding up?
Well, you know, it's inconsequential, really.
But
Mittens went for a run. Oh, look, the green on it is.
That's what I was trying to say. Whatever you held up was basically just transparent for your green screen because I couldn't find out what it was. Mittens went for a run and what?
He went for a run and he sent me a picture of his shoe and he made a copy of his key to his apartment last night and it's a Mickey Mouse key. So he has the Mickey Mouse key tied to his shoe.
And it's... Do you have like a shoe fetish or something?
No, I think he was so excited about this. Walmart has a machine. This is cool, actually. Walmart has a machine in the front where they have like the little candy machines and everything. And the dog tag machines that you can make your own dog tag or whatever.
Yes.
And they have a machine now where you can make your own key copy. So you don't have to, and it's really cool. It has a slot that you put your key in, and it's not the normal one that you normally see them using at like Home Depot where they have to stick your key in this thing and it does, right. It's like a template. It actually has like a mirror and a camera, and it looks at your key and then makes anyway, it's really cool, and you can do it all yourself. And he had to make a copy for someone who's staying because it's a staff house. And he was all excited because they had a Mickey Mouse key.
See, now I have the opposite problem here, which is we had two keys, and we gave one to Steven so that he could feed the cats at one point. And then we had a copy made, but our keys here are some weird kind of key, and so they can't accurately copy them because all the stock that they use is too thick. And so we're having the hardest damn trying to get a second key made, or a third key actually made for the apartment. Which is going to suck, because if I have to fly out early to go to Florida for a funeral, then Robert basically, when he flies back into Connecticut, will have no key.
If you tell the apartment, how do you freaking get these copied? They will know.
I will call them. I'll call them tomorrow. It's just that we didn't think about this. And all of this dad stuff, you know, and dad going on hospice care and everything, that all happened like just recently, like very, very recently. Like I was completely not aware that it had gotten that bad. So anyway, here I go, bringing the show down again. So I don't even know how did you see any of the video coming out of the Northeast this past week?
You probably saw this. Well, you may not watch this. I watched the GizWiz, and they were talking about it. They went on and on and on talking about the hurricane this week. And the one thing that they pointed out was this, that these newscasters run out of things to say. Yes. And so they were pointing out.
It was exactly what I had said, which is, yes, it is they just vamp for hours.
Yeah. And so this news chick actually walks over and she goes, "All right, guys, I just had to show you this. Here is a cardboard box that just barely made it." And there was literally a crumpled up, wet cardboard box laying on the ground. And she's like, "This poor cardboard box barely made it from the flooding that occurred here just hours ago."
This poor cardboard box.
Well, you know, it really...
Won't someone please think of the cardboard boxes?
Exactly. Because it would be very difficult for a cardboard box to make it through something like a hurricane wrapped in a nor'easter, wrapped in an enigma.
DI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons, which, by the way, means that you are free to use clips from this show in another show.
Exactly.
That would not be stealing.
Best of the left.
That's right. Best of the left. Give us a call on the voicemail line, 2x2 DI Plus. That is 229-234-7587. Or send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com. You can also check out our award-winning podcast website. DubiousIntent.com. By the way, is it fixed now? Can I go there with my mobile phone?
I got rid of that add-in for now.
Go into my mobile phone and I can actually see it.
Yeah.
There
By the way, go vote for all of the Pride 48 podcasts.
Yes, absolutely. Vote for all of them. And I'm serious. If we weren't in that category, podcasting and what was the other one? Caustic Soda.
But don't vote for them.
Don't vote for them. I'm just saying. Those are worthy opponents.
Vote for us every day between now and November 15th.
There you go. Well, this show won't be out. Good night, Chet.
Good night, David.